Sacrifice and service, three words that Paul uses of himself and also the Philippians. And we thought about the calling which we have to sacrifice, the purpose in it, and the joy of it. And then last week we looked at one of two examples that Paul now gives of such things. And we thought about Timothy. What an example he was. Isn't it sad to think about what Paul wrote of some who were disciples? He said, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." About what he said about Alexander the coppersmith, "He did me much harm." Then in verse 18 of chapter 3 of this book, he says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ." So don't we appreciate the example of good men? And here are two good men. We said last week that example is the most powerful rhetoric. The example of someone following the Lord Jesus Christ asks of us questions. How do we follow? What is our life like? And we saw that Timothy asked very powerful questions of our lives. And we come this morning to the second example of the life of sacrifice and service and offering, and his name is Epaphroditus. Now, we said last week we knew quite a lot about Timothy. There was a lot about Timothy in Acts and in the letters and in Paul's letter to Timothy. In fact, Timothy is referred to more often than any of Paul's other companions. But here is Epaphroditus. We don't know very much about him at all. Just these verses here in Philippians chapter 2. And if you turn over the page to chapter 4 and verse 18, we read this. Paul says, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Well, we've now read all there is to read about Epaphroditus. We do not know anything more about him. But the Holy Spirit, inspiring Paul to write, gives us just enough to know. And just by way of introduction, let's compare him to Timothy. We said last week, Timothy was trustworthy. Was Epaphroditus such a man? Well, yes, evidently so. He was entrusted with the journey from Philippi to Rome by the church in Philippi to take gifts to Paul, money and other things too. We don't know exactly what, but the word is in the plural, things that he brought. Did he care? We asked the question of ourselves last week, do we care? Timothy was a caring man. Well, yes, Epaphroditus certainly cared. He cared surely, didn't he, because he made that journey. He cared because he was prepared to spend time with Paul. Paul in prison, chained up to that Roman soldier. He cared for Paul at cost to himself. In fact, he became very ill himself and almost died. He had a great concern for the church in Philippi. We read how concerned he was that they were so concerned about him. Yes, he was a caring man too. And was he a serving man? That was our third point last week. Timothy was a serving man. Well, was Epaphroditus? Clearly so. We're going to look at verse 25 in a little while in more detail. But you see there, he was a brother, a fellow worker, fellow soldier, a messenger, a minister. Oh, he was a serving man. In fact, when we read about Epaphroditus, just these few verses, we just get the impression of Epaphroditus that he was a good all-rounder. A good all-rounder. And how the church today needs good all-rounders. Are you a good all-rounder? Are you a cricket fan? Been watching, listening to the New Zealand tests. How England always need a good all-rounder, don't we? Because either the batsmen fail or the bowlers fail, and it always is down to the man in the middle order. How important he is. What is more important? Was it a batsman or is it a bowler? Well, they're both important, aren't they? But in the middle, there's those men who are good all-rounders. The Freddie Flintoffs, the Ian Bothams. How important it is to have a good all-rounder in the team. What about football? Some of you are Manchester United fans. Can't be Derby fans, can you? There's not much to celebrate. What's more important? Is it the strikers? Is it the Rooneys and the Tevezes? Or is it the full-backs and the centre-backs? Ferdinand and Vidic and so on. Who's more important? Well, you could debate that one, but who's in the middle? Isn't it the midfield players? The Scholes and the Ronaldos. So important, can link up the play. Good all-rounders. And in sport, we know what an all-rounder is, don't we? Somebody who can fill in at the back, fill in at the front, can bat a little, can bowl a little. Rugby too, you could take the analogy. Well, in the church, there are those who are good all-rounders. And it just strikes me that Epaphroditus is such a man. And when we think about him, when we read about him, we see how much an all-rounder he is. And it asks this question of us, are we such? You see, we cannot all be pastors, we cannot all be elders or deacons, but we can all be good all-rounders. And there are three things about being a good all-rounder that Epaphroditus teaches us by his example. Three things which come out of this little passage, this little reference to this man. The first is this: by being supportive. By being supportive. That's how we are good all-rounders in the church where God has placed us. By being supportive. We don't read of Epaphroditus leading anything or organizing anything or of him having any office in the church. Although Calvin refers to him as a pastor, I'm not so sure. It doesn't tell us that. But there are terms which Paul uses about Epaphroditus which resonate with each one of us as Christians in the church. Church at Castlefields. They're in verse 25. There are five things. Five things about being supportive in the terminology of verse 25. Paul says, look, I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Soon he was going to send Timothy. He was going to take the news of how it was with Paul. Had he been condemned to death or had he been released? Later on he would send Timothy, he says. But now he's actually sending Epaphroditus with this letter. And Epaphroditus is carrying the letter. And in it there's this reference to him. He says, I'm sending him to you. And he describes what he is, how much he has supported him in the cause of Christ in five ways. He calls him first a brother. A brother. Epaphroditus, my brother. Now it's amazing, you know, to think of that. Because Epaphroditus and Paul were anything but brothers. Here is Paul, the great apostle, upon whom it seemed that the whole of the future of the church might rest. The great teacher, preacher, the brilliant mind, the Jew, the Pharisee of the Pharisees. There was nothing that he didn't know, it seems, of the Old Testament and all the intricacies of all the rules and rituals of Jewish life and all the feasts. He was the Jew in prison in Rome. And here's Epaphroditus. And he's a Greek. He's not a Jew, he's a Greek. Very different. And his name, Epaphroditus, comes from the name Aphrodite. Aphrodite was the goddess of love. The Roman equivalent would be Venus. Brought up in an ungodly home, not knowing the Old Testament scriptures. So different a situation. His parents probably were worshippers of that Greek deity. And all sorts of lewd and terrible things were done in her name. This was not pure love. This was perverted love so very often. And here is Epaphroditus, such a different man, such a different background. And he's an ordinary believer in Philippi, converted perhaps even in Paul's day. We don't know. We can only surmise. Those 12 or 14 years ago when Paul had been there. But now, Paul says, even though we are so different, we are brothers in Christ. He says, I'm sending you Epaphroditus, my brother. Don't we hear so much today of the brotherhood of man? Isn't that the great aim in the Olympics that's coming up? We're going to see all the nations of the world coming together. We're all going to be brothers together in this great Olympic theme. Well, already there's dissension, isn't there? There's riots in some parts of the world. Some countries are not going to attend, maybe. They're saying that some politicians shouldn't have anything to do with other politicians because of it. We haven't even got to the Olympics yet. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who brings together a Paul and an Epaphroditus, black and white, east and west, extremes of mankind. Here are these two men. How are we supportive? It is by looking at one another and saying, he is my brother, my sister, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we look at one another as a supportive family? And then secondly and thirdly in this verse, Paul says that Epaphroditus is a fellow worker. Secondly and thirdly, a fellow soldier. He's reminding us that the Christian life is work. It's hard work. It's graft. It requires dedication, but it's also a battle. It's a battle against the devil. It's a battle against self. It's a battle against the flesh. We're in a battle. A battle against the world and worldliness. And here Paul says, he's my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. The word fellow in the Greek is simply the word with. And what Paul is saying here is Epaphroditus is my brother, my with worker, my with soldier. He's with me as a worker. He's with me as a soldier in the battle, in the work. And we are to be with people. We are to say of one another, he's with me. I'm going through a difficult time. I'm struggling in the battle. I find it hard in the work. But I know he is with me. I know that she is with me. You see, that's being supportive. Epaphroditus was a supporter of Paul as a brother, as a with soldier, as a with worker. Fourthly, he's described here as a messenger. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, he's saying he's your messenger. You sent him to me in the first place. We saw last week, didn't we, how important it was, the messenger. Timothy was going to have to take the very important life or death message back to Philippi. It was going to be such implications. If Paul was to be killed, the implications were this way. If Paul was to live, the implications that way. So important to be a messenger, to represent someone. Timothy was going to represent Paul. Epaphroditus represented the church at Philippi. He's your messenger, quite evidently. What a supporting messenger he was. I wonder how you support the work here, or the work of the church where you are, when you speak of it, when you speak of one another. Are we supporting, are we representing the church, one another, in the right way? Epaphroditus came to Paul from Philippi and he encouraged him. He told him of the things that God was doing. He was faithful in that respect. He was a supporter. And then fifthly, he was a minister. A minister, your messenger, and the one who ministered to my needs. This is not the ministry that we think of. Well, he's in the ministry. In other words, he preaches every week. He's a pastor or whatever. This is not that ministry. This is not the pulpit ministry. This is prison ministry. This is not public ministry. This is private ministry, isn't it? Epaphroditus was often alone, I'm sure, with Paul, just with this soldier to whom he was chained. We know that others came into the house from time to time, but this was a private ministry. And the word ministered here is not the word that is used about the ministry that we have in other places. It's a different word. It's the word that means public servant. And it's like today we would have a civil servant. There's a change of government perhaps down the line, who knows? And all the civil servants who once had to serve the Labour government might have to serve a Conservative government. But what is the job of a civil servant? They are not to have an allegiance, are they, one way or the other? They don't decide policy. They don't decide the laws. They administer that which has been decided. And that's the picture we have here. Here is Epaphroditus. He's Paul's minister. He serves him, or serves with him. He is the one there who effectively carries out the work of God. There's no great glamour in this ministry. It's a visiting ministry. It's a private ministry. It's going to places and to people where others may not even know we have been. It is faithfully supporting the work of Christ, the work of the church. He's a minister. What a supporting man Epaphroditus was. Being supportive. Well, how else can we be an Epaphroditus-like all-rounder? Secondly, by being willing. By being willing. Look at verse 30. Paul says, because for the work of Christ, Epaphroditus came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. We perhaps need to explain the end of that verse a little bit, because it doesn't come out so very well, does it? it sounds as if that the support which the Philippians giving was lacking in some way. Well, it only was in the sense that they couldn't come to him. They couldn't get on a coach, as it were, and have a coach trip to Rome and go and support the Apostle Paul. They couldn't come themselves. So maybe the end of that verse should read something like this: to make up for the fact that you could not all come to assist me in person because of the distance and other difficulties. In other words, Epaphroditus came and he didn't consider his own life. He came close even to death, but he was willing to come, willing to make that journey, willing to bring those gifts, willing to spend time with Paul, willing to be a minister to him and for him, willing to stand alongside him, willing to act as his brother and encourager. Oh, Epaphroditus was such a willing servant, a willing man. When the people in Philippi were deciding who should come with the gift, who was willing? Who was willing? Well, evidently Epaphroditus was willing. He could say, like Isaiah of old, "Here am I, send me." He was willing to go. He was trustworthy. He was a caring man. He was a serving man. And he was a willing man. A willing man. You know, often our prayer needs to be this: Lord, make us, make me willing. Make me willing. See, so often the church today suffers because not that there's plenty to do, but there's few who are willing. It was said to us just again this last week, "Oh, it's a big church, but there's probably only the same number as you've got who are willing." But you see, Epaphroditus was a good all-rounder. Epaphroditus was a supportive man. Epaphroditus was a willing man. It wasn't easy for him. In verse 26, "Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick, for indeed he was sick, almost unto death, God had mercy on him," not only on him, but on me also. He was a willing man, even though it took him close to death. We don't know why. Did he catch some disease? Or was it just simply the stress of the journey? Was it that he wasn't very well before he left? We do not know. All we know is this: that Epaphroditus was willing to keep going, willing to make that journey, willing when he was there, willing to be what he then is described as: a brother, fellow soldier, fellow worker, a minister, a messenger. This hymn's not in our hymn book, but let me read it to you, two verses. "Jesus, Master, whose I am, purchased thine alone to be, by thy blood, O spotless Lamb, shed so willingly for me. Let my heart be all thine own, let me live to thee alone." That's a willing heart, isn't it? A willing heart that sees the willingness of Christ to die for me, to be willing to do for him. "Jesus, Master, whom I serve, though so feebly and so ill, strengthen hand and heart and nerve, all thy bidding to fulfill. Open thou mine eyes to see all the work thou hast for me." You know, we're not to look for great work. We're not to look for public work, as it were. God leads us and guides us into the work that he would have us do, just as thou wilt and when and where? And Epaphroditus was willing to go and sit in the prison with Paul. To sit where there was not a great congregation or many people to see, he sat with Paul. He sat with Paul in the prison and he encouraged him. And maybe that's something we could do. We could go and sit with someone and encourage them. We could go and be, because we're willing to go where God would have us go, where others may not be able to go. Epaphroditus was willing. And then lastly, a third thing about being supportive, about being willing, about being a good all-rounder. And in searching for this heading, I must admit I struggled, because I wrote down by being valuable. By being valuable. And then I crossed it out. I thought, well, that can't be right. That's not right. How can we be supportive and be willing and be valuable? That's almost putting ourselves up, isn't it? It's almost man-centered. Well, then I thought about what it says here about Epaphroditus. And I left that heading in place. And let's see why. You see, there's a dilemma here. Paul was in prison. But here was Epaphroditus visiting him, bringing those gifts from Philippi, bringing himself, fellowshipping with Paul. How valuable Paul found that. How valuable might you be to somebody else? Just by being an encourager, a supporter, willing to do it. When he was with Paul, he was like a brother to him. He was so helpful to him, Paul on his own. You think of Paul being the great man, the great intellect, strong Christian, but so much did he value this with soldier, this with worker. How valuable. And now Epaphroditus has been ill, and very, very seriously ill. And Paul says in verse 27, he said, I sent him the more eagerly. He's sending him with this letter that when you see him again, you Philippians, you might rejoice and maybe less sorrowful. Verse 28, that is verse 27, he says, God had mercy on him. He was well now, well enough to travel. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Oh, how Paul would so miss him if he wasn't there. What a friend he had become. How sorrowful he would be to lose Epaphroditus. How valuable he was. And then the folk in Philippi had heard the news. Somehow they'd heard the news that Epaphroditus, who they'd sent, had become so gravely ill. And they were so concerned about him because he was of such value to them. It's very interesting that we read in verse 26 that it was Epaphroditus who was distressed because they were distressed. He'd heard how distressed they had become, and that gave him some agitation and concern that they were so concerned about him. Isn't that a lovely picture? How valuable was Epaphroditus to the church in Philippi, to Paul? A valuable man. So Paul says in verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. This is a scriptural value, a biblical value. A true value that Epaphroditus has. It's not man-centered. Because Paul says to him, says to them, receive him in the Lord. Epaphroditus is in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a Christian brother and friend and fellow worker and soldier and minister and messenger. Because he's in Christ, he weighs so much in value. Hold him in esteem. Authorized Version says in reputation. The AV margin says honor such. The Amplified Version says highly appreciate men like him. How are we good all rounders? How are we like Epaphroditus? It's by being supportive, by being willing, and being valuable, that in Christ we are valued by one another, and we value one another for who we are and what God has made us and the ministry that we bring to one another. Perhaps the test is this. When you're not here, do people miss you? The Philippians missed Epaphroditus. They were so concerned about his illness. Paul would so miss him when he left to go back, but he needed to send him back. And if he'd have died, oh, Paul would have had sorrow upon sorrow. The name Epaphroditus, it means charming or lovable. Wonder what people would say about us. Is he lovable? Is she charming in the best sense of the word? Are they valuable? Gerard Crispin says, the challenging question to us posed by men like Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus is how much will the work of God miss us when we go to glory? Will the kingdom of God lose a significant quality and quantity of prayer, giving, service, missionary interest, witness, and encouragement to others? I don't save all the evangelical times, but from time to time when we've got a stack of them, I go through them and I cut out any articles that I feel I'd like to keep that might be useful. And I did that a couple of days ago. A year or so's worth of ETs. You know, as you turn the pages, you read of this one gone to glory. This one on the mission field, no longer with us, gone to be with Christ. This pastor, after all these years of faithful service, has gone to be with the Lord. And every month there are those of great value in the Church of Christ who the Lord is calling home. And who's replacing them? Many of these names we know. But there are wives. And there are many who we don't know. And who's replacing them? Who's filling the gap? Who's valuable in the Church of Jesus Christ? Are you? Am I? Are we of value in the things of God? Brian Edwards says, the church can live and grow without spectacular gifts and miracles and signs and phenomena and fantastic revelations, but it will shrivel and die without men and women like Epaphroditus. May we be like him. May we be supportive, willing, valuable in the things of God, in the place where God has put us.